Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
Amen. Somebody say atmosphere. So our series is based on 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 through 11. It says, when the priests came out of the holy place, a thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not continue their service because of the cloud. For the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. And the whole point of this series is to remind us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God's will for our life is that His glory would inhabit the temple. Can somebody say amen? The manifest presence of the Lord should be evident to us from day to day. Not just on Sunday morning whenever Miss Pamela sings the right song at the right time. Amen? Oh, I felt the presence of the Lord today, Pastor. You know, no, we just sang your favorite song, really is what happened, right? We sang a song that made you cry, but Sarah, what's her name, McLaughlin? Is that how you say her name? She can sing some stuff that'll make you cry too. And man, they play that one song on the pet commercial. What is it? In the Arms of an Angel or something like that. Man, that's just about pets, you know. And I'll be, man, the poor pup, you know, poor pets, you know. And so, or whatever it is. And because she has a gifting to stir emotions in our life, and music can do that. So many times we sense a feeling, but sometimes it's a feeling if it's not accompanied with the presence of God, right? A scary movie can give you goosebumps. In fact, there's a whole book series about it, right? And so, you know, the enemy knows how to play with your emotions too. And so what we want is we want to get past, I want the feeling of God's presence, amen? I want the manifest presence of God, but it's got to go beyond feeling, amen? Now, feeling accompanies the presence of God most of the time because God wants us to sense that He's here, right? But if we can't go beyond the feeling and into the realm of His presence that changes our lives, then we haven't accomplished anything. Because anytime the presence of God showed up, things happened. Anytime the presence, the manifest presence of God happened, change was coming somewhere. And so this is what God's saying. He's saying, hey, I want to manifest my presence in your life, and I want it to cultivate change on the inside, and I want it to be evident on the outside so that others can be changed as well. And so this morning, we at men's breakfast, Mikey brought a word to the men this morning, and he was encouraging us to practice quick obedience, because quick obedience could mean life or death for a soul. And so what we have to do is we have to understand that we are called to dwell in the presence of God, to move when He moves, to act when He acts, and to do what He says, and to be able to hear His voice. But Mikey reminded us this morning that when Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, the know in that scripture literally means they intimately know my voice. We're close enough to God that when He speaks, we hear Him. Right? And so there are things that are said over a microphone or loudly or a scream and that can be heard for a distance. But intimate friends talk to each other like this. They may lean over and say something in your ear. I know this is surprising to some, but there's going to be some things that I say to Pamela that I don't say to anybody else. Right? Well, I don't know what y'all, I ain't talking about nothing dirty or nothing. I'm just saying, there's going to be some things that I confide in my wife. Where is y'all's minds tonight? Come on. That's the taco salad, I guarantee. All right. But look, there's some things that I'm going to confide in her that I'm not going to confide in anybody else. You know? because she's the one that's closest to me on earth. And so God wants that kind of relationship with us. He wants to be able to tell us things that maybe he's not just going to broadcast in the open air. The Bible calls it the secret things of God. God wants to tell us secret things. He wants to tell us things that really just apply to you and him. He wants fellowship and communion. And so this is the kind of atmosphere that God wants us to develop in our life. So I know I'm trying to bring out little nuggets each week that maybe we haven't thought about yet or haven't mentioned yet. But really we're talking about the glory manifest presence of God, and we want that to be maintained in our life. And we talked about how people really influence that. We talked about how the friends we choose to be around, the atmosphere. A lot of times, maybe at work or something, you may be surrounded by negative influence at work. But really, God's just talking about the people you choose to be around. And so sometimes you can't help the people that are around you, just like Moses couldn't help that he was surrounded by complaining, nagging Israelites, right? But whenever he went into the presence of God and he came out, they could tell that he had been in the presence of God, and things would begin to change. And so that's what God wants to happen in our life as well. Also prayer, how we've got to maintain an atmosphere of prayer in our life. And prayer needs to be a priority. Can somebody say amen? Also praise is what we talked about last week, how really praise sets up a foundation for God to be able to reign over our life, to give him jurisdiction and control over our life. We do that by setting a foundation in an atmosphere of praise. We say that God inhabits the praises of his people. Really, it's God is enthroned on the praises of his people. He establishes jurisdiction on the praises of his people. So we want God to change our atmosphere, praise him. We want God to change our circumstances, praise him. We want God to change our marriages, praise him for our marriage. God, I'm thank you for my marriage, you know, and learn to be thankful. And God can do a lot of things through that. The last one is posture. Posture. And so we're talking about posturing yourself for presence. Now, I want to really begin this thought with this, in that I believe, this is my opinion, okay? So I'm going to share an opinion, which I don't like to do a lot from the pulpit. I try to really stick to the word, but I'm pretty sure that this opinion is right according to the word. I think the church has become too relaxed when dealing with the presence of God. I really think we have. And so I remember going to a See at the Pole rally a while back. It was when I was a youth pastor. And, okay, so whenever I'm praying, there are times that I am relaxed. There are times where it's intense. There's times where I'm very, very real reverential times, you know, to where I feel like God is trying to establish authority in my life, things like that. So there's different times of prayer. But I went and I thought, God, is this where your church is going? Because I heard teenagers who were being taught by their youth pastors to pray. And it's kind of like, yeah, God, you know, I mean, it's just so like he's your buddy. And he is a friend. So, I mean, I kind of get the theology. But he's also sovereign Lord, righteous judge, fire in his eyes, horse riding kind of guy. Right? I mean, he's the King of Kings. And I believe that when we are approaching his presence and we are acknowledging his presence in our lives, we should have reverence. And I don't know that the house of God buildings, now I'm talking about, okay? I'm talking about buildings, not the temple, but buildings, have steered away from reverencing the presence of God. I believe in church institutions have become more about coffee shops and book sales and multimedia and I'm not the guy that thinks we have to wear a three-piece suit and fix our hair, you know, or, you know, a certain way or, you know, anything like that. I don't think that's what God's looking for. I know people who pay more for their jeans than some people pay for their three-piece suit, right? But I do believe that we should be bringing God our best. Amen? Whatever that is and whatever it looks like. I mean, I'm not here to determine what that looks like. I remember someone told me in Kentucky, they were like, well, I was wearing jeans and a sports jacket or something like that. And they said, man, when you come to church, you should be bringing God your best. I said, really? I think I had some like Abercrombie jeans or something. I said, I bet my jeans cost more than your sports jacket, you know, or jeans cost more than, you know, I mean, how do you know what's my best? And so we're not going to get into this judgmental thing of, you know, well, you got to wear this or we got to wear this or put our hair up in a bun or whatever, you know, or anything like that or skirts down to the floor. I'm not getting into that because then it becomes legalistic, right? But I am saying that we should have a posture that is worthy of his presence. And so we're saying, I am acknowledging the King of the universe, right? And the Lord of all lords. And so I think that we have missed it some whenever we come in looking like a slob, you know, and hadn't bathed in days, you know, I mean, and we think that it's okay to approach and the throne room of God's presence. And now that's I'm talking about the building. But now, okay, so that's a picture. But really, that's just a picture of what's going on the inside. Because are we approaching God and making our requests known to God when we're looking all junky on the inside? We haven't cleaned up on the inside. And now we're going to him in our mess without reverence, without fear, without awe. Without respect. And, you know, if I was going to the bank and was going to ask to borrow money from the bank, I probably would not go in clothes that I just weed-eated in, stinking, nasty, hadn't brushed my teeth. You know, I would probably get fixed up and act like I was going, knew how to be a good steward of what they were about to entrust to me, right? And sometimes we don't posture ourselves in that way whenever we're coming before God. Now, here's the great thing. God's ready to meet with you anytime, anywhere, right? He's anxious to meet with, well, he's anxious about nothing, but he's ready to meet with you, right? And so I'm thankful that whenever I roll over in the morning and my alarm goes off, and the first thing that I try to let come out of my mouth is something directed toward God, I'm glad that he will speak to me with my morning breath. Okay, so don't get me wrong, but I do think that we need to posture ourselves in a way that is worthy of his presence. Let's look at Moses tonight, Exodus 34, verse 8. My screen is cracked, so that makes this a little difficult. Moses 34, verse 8 says, Moses immediately threw himself to the ground and worshiped. This is what happened when Moses encountered the presence of God. It didn't say that God knocked him down. Moses threw himself down on the ground. He's saying, man, this is someone worthy of throwing myself down on the dirty ground and worshiping at his feet. He's understanding the awe and the magnitude of his presence. So Moses throws himself down on the ground and worships in 34, verse 8. And then if we read on down, if you read the whole story and you get down to verse 29, it says, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, carrying the two stone tablets, remember God gave us the Ten Commandments, which we still try to apply to our lives today. He gave those commandments to Moses in the midst of his presence. So God speaks whenever we take time to posture ourselves in his presence. When Moses came down Mount Sinai carrying the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, he wasn't aware that his face had become radiant because he had spoken to the Lord. In verse 33, it says, when Moses finished speaking with them, he covered his face with a veil. But whenever he went into the tent of meeting to speak with the Lord, he would remove the veil until he came out again. Then he would give the people whatever instructions the Lord had given them. And 35 says, and the people of Israel would see the radiant glow of his face. So he would put the veil over his face until he returned to speak with the Lord. This was the normal occurrence with Moses, that every time he met with God, people knew it. And I want that to be our story. I want for us to have such awesome prayer time in our prayer closets, in our homes, or in the altars, or wherever. I want us to have such powerful prayer times that whenever we go home, our spouses or our children say, something is different. You must have met with the Lord. I love what Sim said Sunday. Darla, he said, things are different. That's what he said. Things are different. That young lady gave her heart to the Lord and committed herself. And obviously there's challenges along the way, but that is what should be said about us. Something has changed. Something is different, because if we've been meeting with God for 20 years in the altars and in worship and in praise, and we've been coming to church and it's just almost become a routine, but yet nothing is changing anymore, then somewhere we have become distant to his presence. But God wants us to be able to humble ourselves and posture ourselves for his presence, because there should never be a point in our walk with Christ that he quits changing us. We are transformed from glory to glory, from strength to strength, and faith to faith. God said he wasn't going to complete the work until he comes back for us. That the work wasn't going to be finished, that he would complete it, and that it was going to be a process. But listen, until we're seeing him face to face as he is, the work isn't finished yet. So the closer we get to God, the more we change. The closer we get to God, the more we change. But we have to posture ourselves for what. And when I say posture ourselves, really what I'm saying is we just need to humble ourselves. It's not all about me. It's not what I have time for. It's not what I think is important in my life. It's not. It's about God in his place of authority in my life, that God wants to spend time with me. Well, I don't have that much time to spend with God. Well, you better find it, because he's the creator of your soul and he's the judge of your life. And God said that we're going to give an account for every word that comes out of our mouth. So are we spending an adequate amount of time with God? Are we humbling ourselves and spending time with God? And it's not to beat ourselves up. It's just to remind us that it's important to God to be with us. How humbling is that? That God really wants to spend time with Travis? The Creator wants to spend time with me? Right? Man, that is a humbling thought. And so there are times where, have you ever been overwhelmed with the goodness of God? Have you ever really felt that? Like, man, it is overwhelming what God is doing in my life right now. I've been in that place. And listen, but you're not going to be at that place if you don't get close to him. Right? You're not going to reach that point. But every time that I'm overwhelmed at the goodness of God, it's because I pressed in. Something has caused me. Usually something bad has caused me to press into him a little bit more, right? And so then we watch God work whenever we press into him. We praise and we separate ourselves from people that are in distractions and things like that. And we posture ourselves for time in his presence. And so really, more than an outward evidence. In the word we see many times, it's an outward evidence. It's a kneeling. It's a bowing. It's a throwing yourself on the ground. But really, in New Covenant, it's all about what's going on right here. I've postured myself in the car before. Now, there are times where I have to outwardly manifest a posture before God before he meets with me. He wants me to get on my knees. He wants me to get on my face. There are times that I come in the sanctuary and I lay down on the floor with my face on the ground because there's just distractions around me, and I come in here and I get alone with God, and man, God can just speak. And we need to be able to posture ourselves, whatever it takes, posture ourselves for God to change us in his presence. So the real question is, do others notice when you have been with God? Does your family know? Let me ask this. Now, this is a thought, and I feel like this is real preachy tonight, but that is not my heart, because I may have one finger pointing this way, but there's three pointing back at me, right? And so, if I quit reading the Bible today, would my family notice? I mean, really think about it. If I just quit, okay, well, I'm not going to read the Bible today. Would my family notice? If I quit spending time in prayer, would my family notice? Would my coworkers notice? If I quit going to church, would my workplace notice something's different? Well, I hope so. I hope so. But if you're just in it to punch in and punch out and do your duty and get out, probably nobody's going to notice. And that's a scary thought. And when I thought about that, I was like, God, would my family really know? And I think they would, because they know when I'm slacking. They know when I'm slacking. And you know what? You know when I'm slacking, because I'm not getting a real true word from God that I'm passionate about, right? And so you've got to put priority on his presence. And we've got to make those times count. And so I don't want you to just spend time in the Word. I want you to spend time in revelation knowledge of the Word. I don't want you to just spend time praying for the sake of praying. I want you to spend time in communion with the Holy Spirit in your life. We want to posture ourselves for the presence. We want there to be evident change in our lives. So by humiliating himself, sometimes we do that too. By humbling himself, Moses gained access to the presence of God. So, as I stated earlier, and I think I've got this typed out there, I'm afraid that in an attempt to remain socially acceptable, the church has made encounters with God too casual. And I think the question here is, have we lost the fear of the Lord? Have we lost the reverence for God? Have we lost our respect for who he is? Or have we tried to dumb him down into a more tangible being, someone that is more relatable to who we are? Have we minimized the power of his presence and the authority of his presence? Because really, that's what the Israelites did. When they were worshiping the calf, what they did, it's not that they were trying to substitute God. It's just that they weren't encountering God the way Moses was. And so they formed him in an image that was more tangible for them and what they were more used to. Because this is what they were used to in Egypt. This is more relevant for them. And I think that we have made an attempt in the church to make God more relevant. But here's what my Bible teaches us, is that his ways are far higher and greater. We're not going to understand his ways sometimes. But that's why he gives us peace. that goes beyond our understanding, right? And so we're like, God, I don't understand why you did this, but you know, it wasn't real relevant, and it didn't seem rational to me the way you acted in this situation. It didn't seem, that's not the way I would have done it, God, right? Or something like that. Or, you know, I was scratching our head like, well, God, why'd you do that? But we say, God, I'm not going to try to make you into someone that I can comprehend and understand fully, but I am going to recognize your power and your authority of my life, and I am going to understand your word and what you've spoken, that you're going to work all things for my good, because I do love you. And so we're going to take God for who he is, all powerful, omnipresent, omniscient, all knowing, everywhere, this great big old God. And we're going to say, this great big old God cares about me, right? So it's not that he doesn't care about you and your circumstances, situations, and he doesn't want to act in a way that's relevant in your life. It's just that we can't make an all-powerful God into this dumbed-down figure that we worship in church sometimes. And I hope this makes sense to you, because I really do believe it's key. I just think that we have lost some of the power that accompanies his presence in the church world today, because we tried to become more, make him more socially acceptable. Does that make sense? Okay. But God wants us to posture ourselves in humility and in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 15:33 says this: the fear of the Lord teaches wisdom, and humility precedes honor. Humility precedes honor. I want to read this verse to you in the Passion Translation, then we're going to close here in just a moment. Proverbs 15:33 in the Passion Translation says this. Yeah, it's there. The source of revelation knowledge is found as you fall down in surrender before the Lord. Listen to this next line. Don't expect to see Shekinah glory until the Lord sees your sincere humility. Don't expect to see and experience the manifest presence of God until God sees our sincere humility. God, nothing else matters right now. I don't deserve your presence, God. You know me better than I know myself. You know I'm not worthy for your presence, but I came to meet with you today, God. And I came to humble myself. God, forgive me. I believe an emphasis has been taken away from repentance in the church, because we just do what feels right. And more what feels right becomes the normal, even within the church. And so now we're not even going to God with our sins. Man, I remember, I don't want us to get back to the doom and gloom gospel that I grew up in, but I do want us to get back to the place where we realize when we sin, we know it, because it feels wrong. The moment that sin quits feeling wrong is the moment that we have become lukewarm to the gospel of Christ. And so, I'm not convicted by that. My question is, well, why not? Well, you know, I live by my own convictions. I promise you, the closer you get to God, the more convictions you get, because the more you're becoming like him. I remember whenever Pamela and I got married, people used to make fun of us, man. And we had a friend. We had a friend that, he, man, just an awesome guy. About as blonde as a dude can get in personality. He had really dark hair, but I'm convinced he dyed it. But people would make fun of us because of our movie standards, man. We wouldn't watch hardly anything. You know, I mean, they wouldn't make fun of us. They'd just be like, oh, yeah, we can't watch that. Pamela and Travis is here, you know, and stuff like that. And so we thought we had really high standards. But then our friend, buddy of mine, we went to the movies to see something, man. It was totally, I mean, acceptable movie. And in my opinion at the time, it was totally acceptable. And we pulled up to the movie, and he walked up, and he's like, I'm just going to wait in the car. I was like, why? I mean, this is me. You know, I'm not taking you to see some bad movie or anything. No, I don't think so. I just don't think that, I don't think that's what God would want me to do. And he sat out in the car while we went and watched the movie. And man, you know, I didn't understand it at the time. But what I found out, it seems like with every passing year, our standards go a little higher. And there are movies that we had, even at that standard, there's movies that we had in our home, and I'm just talking about movies because it just relates to us, okay? I'm not trying to get you to go burn your movies or anything. However, it might not be a bad idea. But we had this high standard for movies as teenagers. We got married. Almost every year, there would be some movie that we owned that we'd be like, you know, I don't think we need to watch that. And we would go through the movies and we'd throw a bunch out. And then the next year probably would come along and same thing. Oh, man, I can't believe we used to watch that. And we'd throw it out, you know. And so now our kids just know. They just know. They know. I mean, our kids sometimes probably feel a little deprived on what they can watch and not watch and stuff like that, you know. But you know, it's not because we're trying to be staunchy or legalistic. I do believe with all of my heart that we're just getting closer to God. And the closer we get to God, he's like, you know, I really don't like that. And, you know, we don't really think about it at the time like that. It's just that we just feel, you know, we probably don't need to watch that. And we'll throw it out, you know. And so I don't remember when we were teenagers, the standard was probably PG-13 movies and stuff like that. And then it was PG movies. And now we're just about down to pure flicks or something. I don't know, you know. And sometimes I'm like, Pamela, can I watch a dude movie sometimes? I mean, you know, I need to. So I pull out Gladiator. You know, there's no language. There's nothing. No. And so I'll pull out Gladiator just so I can feel like a dude again, you know, and or The Patriot, you know, or something. And so something to make me feel instead of Hallmark. Right. And so. But the closer we get to God, the more we should be changing. That's the whole point. And if we take away the reverential fear and we take away the humility that we are supposed to feel whenever we're in God's presence, then sometimes we become numb to our convictions. And so God wants to show us his glory and allow us to experience that presence in our lives in a way that will bring change. Change is not a bad thing if we're changing, being changed into the image of Christ. Amen? Okay. I will say legalism is not the way to go either, right? Because that's a whole nother ditch that you can run into. We don't want to run into that ditch, right? You don't follow rules for the sake of rules. You follow the rules because you're in love with the ruler. Okay. Matthew 6:12 says this, "Meanwhile, the fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must never go out. Each morning, the priest will add fresh wood to the fire and arrange the burnt offerings on it. He will then burn the fat of the peace offerings on it." This is where we started the scripture with, or the series with, earlier this month. God wants us to be intentional at throwing logs on the fire. He wants us to be intentional about making sacrifices before God. Sometimes that means sacrificing time, talent, treasure, whatever. Just, that's between you and God. But he wants us to be intentional. You know, in order to keep a relationship going in the right direction, you got to throw some wood on the fire. Right? Well, we just fell out of love. Well, it's because you weren't throwing any wood on the fire. I guarantee you. If you're throwing wood on the fire would still be burning. Can somebody say amen?
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.